Hawks win, Grizzlies lose, preseason game number two, a horrible half of basketball, and some interesting comments from FedEx Forum. Oh yeah, you are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi everybody, welcome to this edition of Locked On Grizzlies, coming to you after preseason game number two. The Hawks beat the Grizzlies, and we all lost for having watched that entire basketball game. I am Peter Edmiston, and I am one of the few that did watch the entire game and live to tell about it. I am at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. We can all support each other. If you watched all 48 minutes of that game, you are a basketball junkie. Or, as I pointed out on Twitter, perhaps you just fell into a coma. Either way, congratulations. Something is probably very wrong with you. Nonetheless, a very interesting night. Certainly not so much from a basketball perspective, but more from the comments that David Fizdale and Zach Randolph made about the bench situation and about how that's going to go going forward, some of the explanations, all of that. Really interesting comments. Those are coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we can glean a few things from the scraps of that pretty awful preseason game. So let's start gleaning. Number one, as David Fizdale after the game put it, we had a lot of money on the bench tonight. This was a game in which you saw major players not playing a part. So the rotations were all messed up. And I think the domino effect from that is that it's hard to take too many serious conclusions from this game overall. Number two, Wade Baldwin was not so good tonight. Certainly not anywhere near as good as he was the other night. Partially because he was the starter tonight. He played against Dennis Schroeder, who is a higher quality point guard than anyone he played against on Monday night. And he's going to learn over the course of the time in this league, this is what it's like to be in the NBA. And this is what it's like for the Grizzlies to rely on a rookie to play these rotation minutes. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, you're going to have good games, you're going to have bad games. How much patience will David Fizdale have with games where Wade Baldwin isn't quite as good? That all remains to be seen. Baldwin was in good spirits after the game, for what it's worth. I talked to him for a good bit, but it was not a great night necessarily for him. It was interesting to see how things kind of devolved in the second half. It was really kind of an exhibition even within the preseason, which is saying something. You saw a lot of guys that are not going to be on this team very much longer, really trying to get their own thing going, a lot of individual play. There's not much you could take from the second half, which I think was the worst half of basketball I can remember seeing in a long, long time. There were maybe some things, if you're a Hawks fan, you could take from it. Their young guys certainly seemed to be into the game, if nothing else. The Grizzlies did not seem terribly interested from a bench perspective. You didn't see any of the Grizzlies getting up or jumping up and down, all that, because I think they know most of these guys that were playing big minutes are not really going to be part of the team. The bigs had to play a little extra because there just aren't enough bodies, and David Fizdale didn't want to play Marc Gasol very much, so you saw Brandon Wright and Jamichael Green playing a little bit really late in the game, and thank God neither guy got injured. That would have been a real fiasco, but it was some serious garbage time. I mean, it was some garbage doesn't even come close to describing what most of that was for the Grizzlies. With these injuries that the Grizzlies are dealing with, there's still some serious question about Chandler Parsons, who David Fizdale in the pregame compared to his LeBron, which, yeah, I mean, I thought the comparison from Jamichael Green to Draymond Green was a little excessive, but Chandler Parsons to LeBron is like next level bonkers at this point. We'll see. Maybe David Fizdale has a plan in mind. But for now, that sounds insane. But the injuries, you know about that one. You know about Deontay Davis. Jarrell Martin, though, this was interesting. He was in a boot prior to the game, and he was just kind of sitting there. It was not the boot. It was not the foot that had the injury last year. That was his left foot. This was his right foot that was in a boot. No one seemed to be overly concerned about it. I asked him about it, and he didn't really say a whole lot, and then he was sort of ushered away because he had to go do something else. But just just keep that in mind. That is that did happen. It's not the greatest news. It may be nothing. It may be totally precautionary. I don't know. He was listed as out due to a right foot injury prior to the game by the Grizzlies PR staff. So just cross your fingers. There's not another injury to add to the list. Good night for DJ Stephens on the court. He is doing everything he can possibly do to make this team. I thought he was really active defensively, active offensively. If you look at the numbers that he put up, for whatever they're worth, in his 23 minutes of action, he scored 13 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, 4 steals, and a block. He shot the ball well from outside, 2 of 4 from 3. That's about all he can do. I don't know that he's going to be able to make this team because of the way the contracts are structured and the fact that they've got 15 guaranteed guys already, but he is a preferred guy for the Grizzlies. He'll be on the Iowa Energy for sure, and if he keeps playing like that, he keeps playing with intensity, crowd got into it, he had another putback dunk, he will be in the NBA sooner rather than later. It's a great story to see, but he is turning himself into a guy that's starting to get it done. On the opposite side of that was Andrew Harrison, who really had a rough night. Now, I don't know what preseason plus-minus does for you. It doesn't do much for me. But he was part of that group in the second half that got drubbed by the Hawks. And in 17 minutes of action, he was a minus 25. Yo. Minus 25 in 17 minutes of action. That is not ideal. We've seen over the first two games, even though Wade Baldwin didn't have his best outing tonight, he still is ahead, and I think comfortably ahead in my mind, of Andrew Harrison as a backup point guard. Maybe there's some minutes of the combo for these guys, and then that may change around a little bit. As far as a backup point guard goes, I think Baldwin is way, way ahead. Now, I had a question on Twitter from this game, a question from our friends at Fast Break Breakfast. They've got a nice little podcast out there as well as part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Network, and asking about the reaction to some of the stat lines, in particular the shooting of Jermichael Green, who was 1 of 7 from the field, James Ennis 1 of 5, Baldwin 1 of 6, Andrew Harrison 0 for 5. How much of that is a concern? It's a good question. I think in general most of the shots in the first half were good shots. Most of the shots the second half, not so much, largely because of the personnel. I think Ennis will hit those shots. He's shown at least in the past, he showed in that stretch in New Orleans that he could hit a lot of those threes that he missed tonight. Wade Baldwin is going to be up and down all year because he's a rookie. Jermichael Green, he's got to hit that corner three. That's part of the reason that he's out there, is he has the ability to stretch the floor, be a stretch four who can also defend stretch fours on the other side. He's going to have to make that shot, though. If I'm concerned about any of them, it would be Jermichael Green, but this was just a weird game, and not really, even by preseason standards, this wasn't much. So I wouldn't take anything really big from this game. See how things go. If Jermichael Green continues to struggle in the rest of preseason, going into the regular season, then, yeah, you could probably be a little bit concerned. If Ennis is struggling, yeah, maybe a little bit concerned, but right now, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Good question. As always, fire off a question to me at Peter Edmiston on Twitter if you want. I will try to get to it here on the pod. I talked to David Fizdale and Zach Randolph at length about the decision to bench Zach, and some very interesting comments emerged from that. I got to tell you, too, I am blown away already by the willingness of David Fizdale to elaborate and discuss his decision-making process, to talk lineups, to talk specifics. For years, dealing with Dave Yeager, who's a very nice guy, I got along with Dave personally, but in his pre-games, it was Fort Knox. It was CIA. It was everything is redacted. You could not ask about lineups. He would just flat out refuse to say anything. The difference between what he was willing to talk about and what David Fizdale has been willing to talk about is like night and day. Like, I can't, it's hard for me to even like conceive of it already. And it's very early on, and perhaps as time goes on, maybe Fizdale tightens up a little bit. I don't know. But for now, at least, He is extremely candid, very much an open book, in giving some fascinating answers to some tough questions, because he's already made, you know, the toughest decision that any coach could make from a Grizzly perspective. You know, he's walked right in and is putting Zach Randolph on the bench. Not an easy thing to do. I played a little bit for you of what David Fizdale told the media earlier this week at practice about the decision, but he really elaborated on it even more in the pregame before tonight's preseason game. So I'll give that to you. This is about a 2-minute clip, but it kind of goes through the entire process of what he went through, the things that he told Zach. And I think you're going to want to hear it, because I just think the explanation is awfully candid.
I mean, I thought it was pretty clear. You know, the bullet points were there. The league is playing faster, smaller. You know, you look at the scores in some of these games, 145 for OKC the other night, Golden State the other night, who, you know, arguably is the favorite coming out of the West. We're not going to beat those teams or compete with those teams at a high level if we play slow basketball. And I just think that Mark and Zach together is not a formula for pace. So, you know, I put a lot of thought into it over the summer. And I also looked at our second unit and I said, man, how are we going to score? Well, you know, Z-Bo going to the bench kind of covered all of those things. And so, you know, I was just very direct with Z-Bo. We sat down. I was respectful. I laid out the plan on why and how he could still be extremely effective and help us win a title. I also put the goal in front of him that we're going to go after the sixth man of the year together. I carry that weight with him. You know, it's the same as when people ask me about Mike's contract. It's not just Mike, it's all of us. And so, you know, I just try to present it in a way that's realistic, in a way that, you know, he can see a pathway to success for us and for himself. And so, you know, and the last thing was, you know, and I was just honest with him. I said, Z, I don't know how many people are going to pay you to be a starter from here on out, you know, and that's no knock on him. It's just, you know, Father Time catches up to everybody a little bit, you know, and so I said, well, let's show people that, you know, you're willing and able to come off the bench and be very effective, and hell, you might play for 24 years. So he was awesome. I mean, he really took it well. He didn't take it as a slap in the face or anything like that. It wasn't me saying that he couldn't be a starter in the league. Because obviously he could still start. But what I'm trying to accomplish, I think that we needed more speed in the starting lineup. So, like I said, he was incredible about it. He actually went to his teammates and told them first in a positive way. It wasn't like you're moaning and groaning, but it was really positive. And like I said, Mark came back to me and was like, what the hell did you say to Z-Bo to make him take this so lightly? And I just told him I was straightforward with him like I am with the rest of you guys, and he really took it well, and I was really happy on how he embraced it.
I also asked Fizdale about how much he weighed the defensive side of it and Zach Randolph not necessarily being able to defend stretch fours as a starter, and he talked a little bit about that in the context of some of the complexities of the offensive side as well.
Well, it was both, because, you know, this team has Chandler Parsons, and so, you know, I want Mike to score more. I obviously want Chandler Parsons to be a big-time scoring wing, and I want Mark to score more. So I don't want anyone to get lost in that shuffle, and I think one more scorer in that group could get lost in the shuffle, and it can cause friction. And so, you know, that was the first thought, is how do I spread it around and how do I make sure my lineups have balance? But then there is a super defensive component to it, where we have to be able to defend the three-point line, which we didn't do a very good job of the other night, but I think Jermichael Green gives us the versatility to get better at it and really get to a point where we're one of the better teams at it. So, you know, all of these factors were weighed into it when I made the decision.
Last thing from Fizdale, I asked him about how his conversation with Zach, or how his decision, was different than the one that Dave Yeager and Lionel Hollins had faced, in particular Dave, last year, but Lionel as well, when Zach came back from his knee injury. Both those guys asked Zach to go to the bench. It didn't go quite as well. I asked David Fizdale to kind of compare the different situations.
I think they were dealing with a tougher situation. They were dealing with a younger Zach who was still kicking everybody's butt, like 20 and 10 every single night. And, you know, so I'm getting Zach a little later in his career. Not that he's still not a butt kicker, but he's not the Zach that he was, you know, in Portland or his first years here, where it was just book 20 and 10 every single night. And so I think that conversation may have been a little bit easier to have with them now. And I think, you know, Dave not starting them some games last year kind of prepared them for it, moving in that direction. And like I said, I want to give Zach the best opportunity to be successful. And I don't want him running around chasing these stretch fours and these guys that's super fast. And then all of a sudden now I have to move him out of the starting lineup. And now you guys got a storyline to talk about, right? So why don't we just get deal with it right up front and put him in the best position to be successful?
I mean, I have to say, you think about some of those comments that he made. He said, you know, Zach is not the Zach of old necessarily. Said he's still a butt kicker, but not the same guy that he was. You know, said he's not going to get paid starter money in the league. At least he doesn't think so. That's some tough talk, man. I mean, he is willing to put it out there and be very brutally honest in a way that I don't think very many guys would be willing to do, especially as first-time head coaches, especially not even having coached a single regular season game, to go in and to say that to Zach Randolph. And I think hearing Zach's comments before tonight's game, as he talked a little more about it too, it's fair to say that Zach is not quite 100% convinced that this is the right course of action, but he's very willing to try it, and he's very willing to give it a go for the good of the team. So let's hear from Zach himself on going to the bench.
I'm a team first guy, you know that, man. And I'm going to do whatever I got to do to help this team win the championship. That's the goal, man. It's bigger than me, man, and it ain't about me. I mean, you know, of course, you know, I ain't going to sit and say I want to come off the bench, but, you know, I'm a team guy, and, you know, whatever it takes for whatever the coach thinks is best, you know, I'm about that, and I'm part of it, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, man, to help these young guys out, to help this Grizzly team win, this organization win.
The difference for you in the way that Fizz did it versus the way, like, Dave did it last year?
It was a slight difference, you know, yeah, we could, but, you know, he told me at the beginning of the year, you know, and looked me in my eye and told me this is that, and this is why, and what I'm thinking. Okay, coach, and you got respect it.
Did you try to kind of like push back? Say,
no.
Hey, you know, or did you just say it?
I ain't pushed back last year when Dave told me. I don't push back. It is what it is.
Do you think did he say that's it for the rest of the year?
Yeah, he didn't say that. He said he just want to try something, and, you know, hopefully it worked.
Is that kind of your goal, to get back into the starting lineup?
Man, nah. It I'm just going out and play my game and be IB, and whatever happens, happen. But it's not my goal, you know. So my goal is help this team win games.
Is the expectation, though, for you to be out there at the end of the game?
That's what I want to be. As long as, you know, I'm going to be out there when it counts. You know, I don't care, you know, if I don't start enough. I do want to be out there, you know, and crush time. And, you know, not only I say that because, you know, I done proven that. And I know what I can, you know, what I can do. So it's just going to.
Playing five with this group,
mostly five. Yeah.
Is that kind of the
idea? Yeah, playing
five. Yep. Are you gonna go outside more? Is that the thought too, that you're gonna take more threes?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I like it. I mean, my spot, you know. But you know, I am who I am, and we are who we are too. At the end of the day,
does this affect your future with Memphis? Does it make you more or less? Do you want to end your career as a Grizzly still? Is that all?
I mean, yeah, I definitely do. I definitely want to finish here and you know, everything, number retired and win the championship, all that stuff. So that don't got nothing to do with none of that. You know, so that stays the same. Yeah.
Is it kind of like with the young guys? I know you've spoken about Jermichael, and you see that as a great opportunity for him. And
yeah,
you've definitely always been a big supporter of his.
Yeah, all my young guys. And that's why you go ask them young guys. They like, you know, they up under me because they, you know, they feel the love. And, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. You know, supposed to be, you know. I'm mad at him. Nah, it ain't got it like that. And that's what other guys, other teams, that's how the old guys are. You know, supposed to be like that. You know, these young guys like my little brothers, you know, all of them. And I want the best for them. And I'm going to help them get to where I'm going to help Jermichael. Here, free agent, I'm going to help him.
Supposed to have love, not hate. You know, I want all these young guys to succeed. And they know it. And they feel it. They feel a real person. And the guys are down for them, that's really want to help.
Did you hear that bit of philosophy that Zach dropped on you, by the way? Listen to this again.
I am who I am, and we are who we are, too, at the end of the day.
One more time.
I am who I am, and we are who we are, too, at the end of the day.
If there's any justice in the world, watching that second half, I question whether there is, but if there's any justice in the world, that's going to be one of Zeebo's deep thoughts on the big screen this year. I think the comments that Zeebo made about the young players are really appreciated in the locker room. He definitely is taking a leadership role. He always has, and those young guys do indeed look up to him. So if he were to pout or to whine or complain publicly or behind the scenes, it would certainly affect those guys. He hasn't done that. That's to his credit. Now, it's to your credit that you've been listening to Locked On Grizzlies. I appreciate it very much. I would definitely appreciate it if you hit subscribe, whether you're listening on iTunes or on some kind of Android thing or some sort of VR machine. You're in like a virtual studio with me listening. That technology is fantastic. You know, whatever you're doing, just click subscribe. That'd be awesome, so you can get this into your pod feed thing without having to worry about it. It's just going to be downloaded without you even thinking about it. You can click and listen whenever you want. That's awesome. Leave reviews. That's great. I appreciate it. Any feedback, anything that you want to hear on the pod as we continue? I'm trying to, you know, this is a work in progress, so I'm trying to learn and grow as this thing goes on. So stuff you like, stuff you don't like, let me know. That'd be great as we continue and head through the regular season. That's going to be fantastic. Everybody, have yourselves a great weekend. We'll be back with the pod first thing Monday morning. Until then, so long. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.